Here's a thought. Imagine sitting down and writing a 670-page book about the great future problems we face, the reasons why we've got those problems in the first place, and how well suited we are to cope with them and counter them in future. 670 pages. You could be forgiven for being a little bit down in the mouth at the end of that process. But our next guest, Professor Jim Falk, is anything but. Professor Falk cautions us against assuming that human nature is fixed and can't adapt. He's the director of the Australian Centre for Science, Innovation and Society at Melbourne University. And his weighty tome, co-written with La Trobe University's Joseph Camilleri, is called Worlds in Transition, Evolving Governance Across a Stressed Planet. Now, as I say, Jim Falk is an optimist. But I'm a journalist, and we like a bit of pessimism. So let's wallow a bit in that pond first. Professor Falk writes that while humankind has been innovating to meet the major global challenges we see ahead of us, our ability to innovate hasn't kept pace with the problems we face. So my first question is why?
Well, it's because, I guess, we're much better at shaping the physical side of the world than we have been at working out how to shape the very complex interactions between human beings. And that is still in a process of experimentation, high innovation, but we still rely very, very much on old models. In fact, if you look at the way we innovate in our social processes, our political organizations, our institutions, our laws, our ways of working across the planet, we still very much base that around the division of the world into nation states. But many of the big problems now, whether it be the consumption of raw materials, the extinction of species, the growth in atmospheric carbon dioxide, all of which are sort of pointing towards the roof on an exponential curves, these sorts of problems are global. We haven't yet worked out how to organise our affairs sufficiently well across the planet to control these.
And yet we've
We can see the problems, but we don't yet know precisely how to control them.
And yet if you look at the human species over the last, well, since World War II, we've built more and more layers of governance at national and at international levels. Is it possible, or do you argue, that that multi-layering, in a sense, actually hinders rather than helps our ability to respond to global challenge?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's interesting you say that. We've sort of, not just since the war, but over the whole length of human history, we have been following a process of what we might call challenge and response. So we create a series of social institutions, and then we find that there are a series of challenges get created out of those, whether it be that we're creating acid rain across regions where previously we developed controls only at the level of communities, and then we respond by trying to create something above that. And so, like the skins of an onion, you get new sort of types of institutions created over the old, and that's true. You can still find in this world all the old ones there, from feudalism, slavery, theocracy, dictatorship, and of course national liberal democracy, and on top of that now, a series of international institutions. But it isn't a sort of a neat, precise machine. It's more a tangle of innovations, partly coherently, partly incoherently operating, sometimes operating against each other, sometimes with each other. Clearly, that is a problem for trying to confront some of the very large problems that are developing now at an unprecedented speed and scale.
So coming up with new international institutions or devices isn't necessarily going to work. It sounds to me from what you've written and from what you're saying that you're almost arguing that we need to evolve to actively cope with the environmental challenges that we're facing.
Not physically, but culturally, undoubtedly. I mean, the process by which we have developed culture is a form of evolution, not biological evolution, but sort of systems evolution, and through this sort of challenge and response process. And yes, we need to move much further and more intensely along a path that's already to some extent being mapped out. You can see some of the characteristics that would be required for us to successfully or more adaptively get through this large transition that we're now in. One of those is that the path towards being able to see what is happening across our planet needs to be followed much more sharply and more forcefully still. So, for example, it won't probably be enough to suggest that there we will simply have a global organization of a government which will control everything that's going off across the planet. The chances of actually achieving something like that, which had the acceptance and support of everybody across the planet and which had all the institutions in place, of achieving that in time is pretty remote. So what is probably going to be required is to use the collective capacities of human beings at all levels, from the local community through to the regional community through to the global community, to tackle these problems. We need to have conviction that problems need to be tackled. We need to have understanding of what the problems are. We need to know what people are doing in other communities, in other places. All of that is an increase in transparency, in communication, in understanding, in information flow. We have, of course, greatly elaborated capacities to assist that. But in the end, the blockages to understanding what is happening in other places are very frequently not that we couldn't have the capacity to transmit the information. It is the social decisions that we will make that information available.
Now, some people listening to this will say that, you know, it's all very well to talk about the need for human beings to change their ways, you know, their habits. But the history of humanity is that things often have to get very much worse before we actively try to make them get better. Why should things be any different in terms of our current crises, in terms of the current difficulties that we have to address?
Can I just start with just one little reflection about time? I think that when we think about human history, we sort of think about it as being an unimaginably long period of time. And I'd like to just correct that for a moment, put us in a different scale, because actually we haven't been around very long and there's been a lot of change. I mean, if you take our species, Homo sapiens, in our current form, we've been around about 125,000 years. If you think of the biblical lifespan of 70, that's about 1,800 lifetimes laid end to end. Our language has been around for about 1,000 lifetimes. The Stone Age was only 570 lifetimes ago. Agriculture came in 140 lifetimes ago. Writing, 70 lifetimes ago. Industrial civilization, 3 lifetimes ago. We've burnt up half the world's oil in less than a lifetime. And the development and deployment of the World Wide Web has happened in a fifth of a lifetime, in 15 years. So an enormous amount can happen in a very short period of time. It's true that there is a sort of arms war between our understanding and the development of the problems. But you'd have to say that our understanding is developing very fast too. But it has to be helped. And that's something which is of our lifetime. What can happen in our lifetime, given those timescales, is enormously significant for the future of humanity and the future of life on the planet. So it's right now, and it depends on whether we do become excited by these problems, and indeed whether we think further ahead than a lot of our current institutions tend to make us think. Because one of the paradoxes is that in this sort of late modern period, and partly because of the way the market operates, our institutions, whether it be governments or corporations or even ourselves, tend to focus very much on very short cycles, profit returns at the end of the year, immediate gratifications, election cycles of 3 years, rather than on, say, 20 years or 30 years. And we have to use our endowed capacities to be able to think beyond that period of time to respond to the problems that we're now facing.
Well, Professor Jim Falk, Director of the Australian Centre for Science, Innovation and Society, many thanks for your insights.
It's been a great pleasure to be here. Thank you, Anthony.